She stepped into the elevator and pressed every button. She peeked out, hid, and moved like she was being followed, but no one was there. That was the last time Elisa Lam was seen alive. Weeks later, her body was found floating naked inside a sealed rooftop water tank of the Cecil Hotel, after guests complained of foul-smelling, low-pressure tap water. The autopsy said accidental drowning. But how did she get onto the locked roof? Open the tank? Why was the elevator video so strange and released with missing timestamps? In this story, I follow only the facts. No ghosts. No games. Just the chilling truth of one woman's final days inside America's most infamous hotel. This is Elisa Lam, the chilling disappearance at Cecil Hotel. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1, The Arrival. I remember the first time I saw the Cecil Hotel. It was late January 2013. The sky above downtown Los Angeles had that soft gray-blue tint. Not quite dusk, not yet dark. The sidewalks were cracked. The air carried the kind of weight only a big city can press onto your chest. People moved with urgency, but no warmth. Just motion. I had just stepped out of a cab on Main Street. The building in front of me loomed like something out of a noir film. The Cecil Hotel. Tall, shadowed, worn by time and stories no one wanted to tell. Its neon sign flickered slightly. The letters buzzed in and out of visibility, as if even the building was unsure of itself. Inside, the lobby tried to pretend it was still grand. Faded velvet chairs. Chipped tile. The front desk clerk barely looked up when I approached. A girl with dark hair and a quiet Canadian accent. That was Elisa. Elisa Lam, 21 years old. Born in Vancouver. A student at the University of British Columbia. She was on a solo trip down the West Coast, Seattle, San Diego, LA. This was supposed to be a journey to clear her mind. A pause from her classes. A way to reset. She checked in on January 26, 2013. Online, she blogged about her trip. Her posts were reflective, thoughtful. But if you read between the lines, really read, there was something else there. Something fragile. Elisa had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder and depression. She wrote openly about it. Medication was part of her life. Some days were better than others. She was originally placed in a shared room at the Stay on Main, the hostel-like wing of the Cecil. But within 2 days, her roommates complained. Elisa had been acting strange. She left odd notes on their beds. Locked the door when she wasn't inside. Whispered to herself. The hotel staff moved her to a private room. At first, no one thought much of it. Just a girl traveling alone. Maybe tired. Maybe stressed. Los Angeles has that effect on people. But I can't stop thinking about that move. From shared room to isolation. It's a detail people overlook. But for Elisa, already carrying the weight of her mind, that change might have been everything. In the days that followed, she was seen at nearby stores. She bought books at the last bookstore, less than a mile away. She chatted with the clerk, smiled, walked back toward the Cecil carrying 2 new titles in a plastic bag. She never looked scared. If anything, she looked free. That was January 31st, the last confirmed time anyone saw her alive. The next morning, Elisa was supposed to check out. She didn't. The hotel called her room. No answer. The bed was made. Her belongings were still there, wallet, laptop, suitcase. But no Elisa. She was gone. It wasn't until February 1st that her family, alarmed by silence, called the LAPD. She hadn't contacted them since the 30th, and Elisa always called home. The police came. They searched the hotel. Brought in dogs. Checked security footage. Nothing came up. The dogs stopped outside an emergency exit on the roof. But there was no scent trail after that. It was as if she had vanished into thin air. Word spread fast. The internet picked up the story like a spark in dry grass. A young woman, traveling alone, vanished from a hotel with a dark history. And then came the footage. On February 13th, LAPD released a 4-minute surveillance clip from inside one of the Cecil's elevators. What the world saw would launch 1,000 theories. But back on January 31st, in that moment, when she stepped into that elevator, Elisa Lam was still alive, and something had already begun. Chapter 2, The Elevator Footage. It's the footage that made the world stop. February 13th, 2013. 12 days after Elisa Lam vanished from the Cecil Hotel. The Los Angeles Police Department released a 4-minute surveillance video to the public. No narration, no commentary, just the raw footage. I remember pressing play, and I remember the chill in my spine before I even reached the 30-second mark. The elevator doors slide open. The camera is mounted high in the corner. The timestamp in the bottom corner is blurred. The seconds seem to skip. There's already something off. Then Elisa steps inside. She's wearing a red hoodie, shorts, sandals. Her hair is long, dark, and slightly damp at the ends. She looks around quickly, presses several buttons on the panel. Not one or two, but almost an entire column of floors. And then she waits. The elevator doors stay open. She steps to the corner, peers out, looks right, then left. Then she jumps back inside, pressed flat against the wall. Something or someone has scared her. But there's no one visible in the hallway. No one enters the frame. The doors stay open far longer than they should. Almost unnaturally long. Elisa leans out again. She moves quickly. Steps out, then steps back in. Then out again. Her hands flutter in front of her chest. Not panicked, but strange. Like she's talking to someone unseen. Like she's reacting to something just beyond the frame. Her gestures grow more animated. Her feet shuffle. At one point, she presses herself into the corner of the elevator, almost hiding. And still, the doors remain open. She steps fully out into the hallway. Her arms rise and twist. Her fingers bend and flick in unnatural ways. Then she disappears from view. Moments later, the doors finally close. The elevator moves. No one else appears in the footage. Ever. No pursuer. No friend. No staff member. Just Elisa. Moving through that small space like someone caught in the middle of something we can't see or understand. The video went viral within hours. Reddit threads exploded. YouTube channels dissected every frame. People slowed it down, brightened it, darkened it, zoomed in on the buttons, paused on her fingers. Everyone had a theory. Some said she was on drugs, but the toxicology report would later say otherwise. Others said it was a mental health episode. The manic phase of bipolar disorder, possibly worsened by skipped medication. That theory had weight. But then what was she reacting to? Then came the darker theories. Elevator game rituals. Paranormal encounters. Possession. Murder. But for all the noise, the truth was this. No one came after her in the video. No one is seen. No physical threat appears. Just her. Alone. In a malfunctioning elevator. Acting like someone being watched. Or hunted. Or haunted by her own mind. What made it worse, what made it feel cinematic and terrifying, was the silence. The cold hum of the camera, the eerie slowness of her movements, the fact that we were watching someone's last known moments without knowing they were her last. What happened after that video cuts off remains unanswered. No camera footage shows her leaving the hotel. No keycard record confirms the use of an elevator beyond that point. No witness saw her in the halls. She simply vanished. For 12 more days, there was nothing. No new leads. No sightings. Just that video, looping endlessly on the internet. A young woman behaving oddly in an elevator that would not close its doors. Somewhere between that 4th-minute timestamp and the moment the footage fades to black, Elisa Lam stepped beyond what anyone could explain, and she never came back. Chapter 3, Disappearance and Investigation. After the elevator footage, the silence grew louder. Elisa Lam was officially reported missing on February 1, 2013. Her parents had been calling her nonstop since January 30th, but she hadn't answered. She always kept in touch when traveling. Always. So when the LAPD arrived at the Cecil Hotel, they knew they weren't just dealing with a late checkout. The first search was methodical. Officers went room to room, speaking with staff and guests. Elisa's room was locked from the inside. Her belongings were still there. Her laptop, her wallet, clothes neatly folded, toiletries untouched. Her identification and passport lay on the nightstand. The bed was made, but Elisa was gone. The police brought in K-9 units, hoping to pick up her scent. The dogs searched the hallways, stairwells, even the rooftop, but they didn't alert to anything definitive. It was like Elisa had vanished into thin air. No struggle, no trail, no signs of a break-in or escape. The staff said they hadn't seen her. Not after the day she disappeared. Then there was the strange detail. The door to the rooftop. It was supposed to be locked. Alarmed, only staff had keys or codes. If you opened it without authorization, a loud buzzer would sound. But the rooftop still became a point of interest. Investigators climbed it manually. They looked at every corner. The water tanks, the fire escapes, the vents. Still no Elisa. The Cecil's hallways had security cameras, but very few of them were functional. Only the elevator captured those four final minutes. Everything else, blind spots and shadows. Her last known sighting outside the hotel had been at the last bookstore. Surveillance showed her browsing, talking to staff, buying two books. She smiled, made jokes. Nothing in her behavior looked suspicious or manic. The employee who helped her said she seemed completely normal, but no one had seen her since. Over the next few days, the LAPD expanded their search. They checked nearby hospitals, homeless shelters, bus depots. Her face went up on missing person posters all over Los Angeles. The local news began to cover her case, but nothing turned up. Then came the internet. The elevator video transformed Elisa Lam into a viral phenomenon. Millions of people started digging. True crime communities, YouTubers, Redditors, amateur sleuths. They dissected her Tumblr, her travel plans, her mental health. They combed through theories with disturbing obsession. And through it all, her family waited. They flew to LA, appeared at press conferences, begged for help. Her mother, sobbing behind the microphone, said Elisa had struggled with mental health. But she had never disappeared like this. Never. She didn't drink. She didn't party. She trusted people. Maybe too much. Days turned to weeks. And inside the Cecil Hotel, something else started to happen. Guests began to complain about the water. They said the water pressure was low, that the water tasted strange, that it had a black tint, and that when you turned on the faucet, the water came out slow, then sputtered, then dark. The hotel sent someone to check the plumbing. It was a routine call, the kind of thing no one should ever fear. But what they found on that rooftop would stop the search cold and start something far darker. Chapter 4, The Tank Discovery. February 19, 2013. It was just before 10 a.m. when Santiago Lopez, a maintenance worker at the Cecil Hotel, carried a ladder onto the rooftop. Guests had been complaining for days. Low water pressure, strange taste, black water sputtering from bathroom taps. He'd heard it before. Old pipes. Rust. Maybe a dead bird stuck in the filtration system. Nothing new. But Santiago knew where the problem usually started. The water tanks. There were four of them. Large, rectangular, industrial cisterns. Each about 10 feet tall, covered by heavy metal lids. They sat at the far end of the rooftop, behind the elevator shaft. The area wasn't easily accessed. To get there, Santiago had to disable a rooftop alarm, take a service elevator, climb a narrow staircase, and squeeze through a locked rooftop door. Then, another ladder to reach the top of the tanks themselves. When he got to the first tank, he noticed something right away. The hatch was open. That wasn't normal. They were supposed to be sealed. Secure. He climbed up, looked inside, and stopped. Floating face up in the dark water was the naked body of a young woman. Her arms were limp, her hair spread like ink around her head. The water was cloudy. Still, her skin pale, bloated from nearly 3 weeks of submersion. Her clothes were nowhere in sight. It was Elisa Lam. He didn't scream. He just climbed back down, walked to his radio, and called it in. When the police arrived, they evacuated the hotel, covered the rooftop, sent in the coroner. Guests were told as little as possible. But it didn't matter. Word got out fast. The missing girl was found, in the water tank. Firefighters had to drain the entire cistern, then cut it open at the side to retrieve the body. The opening at the top, the one Elisa had supposedly climbed through, was too narrow to safely extract her. She was found completely nude. Her watch and key to the room were still floating nearby. No signs of external trauma. No defensive wounds. No signs of sexual assault. Her clothes were eventually found at the bottom of the tank, including her red hoodie, coated in a fine, grainy sediment. The questions started immediately. How did she get up there? Why was the hatch open? How could she have climbed in and shut the lid? That was one of the most debated points. When her body was discovered, the hatch was open. But many speculated it had originally been closed, based on Santiago's early reports. The lid was heavy, more than 20 pounds, and awkward to lift. For someone small, like Elisa, climbing in and pulling the hatch closed behind her would have been incredibly difficult, if not impossible. And yet, no fingerprints, no camera footage of her on the roof, no indication of a break-in, no witnesses, just her, in the tank. The coroner's office took weeks to process the autopsy. The media ran wild with speculation. Some said it was suicide. Others screamed murder. Others still insisted it was paranormal. But one thing was clear. Elisa Lam had been dead for more than 2 weeks, and during that time, guests had been drinking, bathing, and brushing their teeth with water from that tank. It was a detail that shocked even the most hardened officers. The kind of horror you can't write. The kind that sticks to your skin. The kind that never fully leaves. The Cecil Hotel was shut down temporarily. Lawsuits were filed. Guests demanded answers. But there was nothing the staff could say that would make it okay. The search was over. But the mystery had only just begun. Chapter 5, Autopsy and Official Conclusion. When the coroner's report finally came in, it offered answers. But not the kind anyone found comforting. Elisa Lam's cause of death: accidental drowning. No foul play. No signs of sexual assault. No drugs or alcohol in her system beyond trace amounts consistent with her prescribed medication. The toxicology report was clear. Elisa had been taking some of her medication for bipolar disorder. But not all of it. One of her mood stabilizers, lamotrigine, was found at levels far below her prescription. Two others were completely missing. That was the first red flag. People who suffer from bipolar disorder often experience manic or psychotic episodes when their medication is out of balance, especially during high-stress periods like solo travel. The official conclusion was that Elisa had likely suffered a psychotic break, possibly triggered by skipped medication. In that state, authorities believed, she may have accessed the rooftop, climbed into the water tank on her own, and been unable to escape. But that theory raised its own questions. The roof access was supposed to be locked and alarmed. No footage showed her using the service elevator or stairs. No staff heard the alarm go off, if it ever did. The fire escape could have been used, but there were no fingerprints, no witnesses, no noise. Not even camera footage from the surrounding buildings captured her up there. The tank she was found in stood over 10 feet tall, and the hatch on top required climbing a ladder bolted to the tank's side. While carrying your own body weight, during what would have been an intense mental health crisis. It wasn't impossible, but it was unlikely. Then there was the question of the tank lid. When police and fire personnel arrived, the hatch was open. But in earlier statements, the maintenance worker had described it as closed. Some speculated he misremembered. Others insisted it had to be closed when Elisa went in, and someone reopened it, either after her death or while watching her die. But the LAPD stood firm. No signs of trauma. No evidence of homicide. Case closed. Her death certificate listed only three words under manner of death: accidental. Bipolar disorder. But the world wasn't satisfied. How could a woman get into that tank, alone, in the middle of the night, on a rooftop most people couldn't access, and leave no trace? If it was suicide, why climb into something you can't escape from, rather than jump from the roof? And if it was psychosis, how did she manage to navigate the locks, the stairs, the roof, the ladder, and the tank lid in the dark? There were no bruises, no cuts, no scrapes, no broken nails, no defensive wounds. If she had fought to escape the tank, there would have been something, anything, but there wasn't. Just Elisa, alone in the water, silent, still, undisturbed. It was as if the hotel had swallowed her, as if she had never been there at all. Except for the footage, the elevator, the flickering lights, the fluttering hands, and the water. In the end, the LAPD closed the case. The Cecil Hotel resumed operation. Elisa Lam became another footnote in its long, dark history. But for the people who followed her story, who watched the footage, read her blog, and saw her face in the headlines, her death never truly made sense. Because even with a conclusion, nothing felt concluded. Chapter 6, Aftermath and Ongoing Mystery. Elisa Lam's story didn't end on the rooftop of the Cecil Hotel. If anything, that's where it began. After the coroner ruled her death an accidental drowning, after the case was closed, the public did something unusual. They didn't let it go, not because they wanted conspiracy, but because they felt something was still missing. The lawsuits came quickly. Elisa's family filed a wrongful death suit against the hotel. they argued that the Cecil had a duty to protect guests from hazards like unsecured rooftop access and unsealed water tanks. That if the tank had been properly locked, Elisa would still be alive. The hotel's lawyers fought back. They claimed Elisa entered the tank on her own, and that no negligence occurred. In 2015, the lawsuit was quietly dismissed. But the court of public opinion kept the case alive. The internet wouldn't forget her. Thousands of people dug into every aspect of her life. Her Tumblr blog, where she posted thoughts about loneliness, recovery, hope, and mental exhaustion. Her bookstore visit, where she smiled and joked with the clerk just hours before she vanished. Her mental health records, used by some as proof of vulnerability, and by others as a scapegoat for something darker. YouTubers published frame-by-frame breakdowns of the elevator footage. Reddit threads debated the tank dimensions and rooftop angles. Some even believed the elevator footage was tampered with, that several seconds were cut, a claim never proven, but never denied either. And then there was the hotel itself. The Cecil Hotel had its own reputation, long before Elisa Lam. It opened in 1924 with hopes of becoming a luxury downtown staple. But by the 1930s, it was surrounded by skid row. Depression, poverty, violence, the building seemed to absorb it. It became infamous for suicides. Over a dozen people had jumped to their deaths there. Some were never identified. In the 1980s and 90s, serial killers Richard Ramirez and Jack Unterweger both stayed there, overlapping with active killing sprees. Guests overdosed in their rooms. Others vanished altogether. So when Elisa's story broke, many called it just another chapter in the hotel's long shadow. Netflix would later release a documentary, Crime Scene: The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel. It gave her story a new wave of attention. But even then, people argued, was it about her or about the hotel? Were we examining a life or consuming a spectacle? I go back to her final blog entries sometimes. They're hopeful, reflective, not the writings of someone preparing to die, not someone hallucinating or in freefall, just someone struggling, like so many of us do. In one post, she wrote, "You're always haunted by the idea you're wasting your life." That line sticks with me, because Elisa's life wasn't wasted. She mattered, even if the system couldn't protect her. Even if the truth never felt complete. To this day, we still don't know with certainty what happened in those final moments. How she reached the roof, why she climbed into the tank, what she thought would happen, or whether someone else was with her. The official story is simple. A tragic accident. A young woman, overwhelmed by her mind. No suspects. No crime. No answers. But the emotional story, the one that plays in people's heads when they watch the elevator footage, that one is harder to silence. Because Elisa Lam didn't just vanish. She left behind a digital soul, a mystery that outlived her body, and a case that reminds us how little we really understand about the mind, or about the places we walk through every day without looking up. She was more than a headline, more than a meme, more than a mystery. She was real.